This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 25th, episode 1479, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
I don't know what that is. Hold on.
Oh, my God. Such a train wreck getting started. Monday, Monday, there we go.
I like it.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so...
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
I can't leave anything open now because there's stupid videos that play on every website now. They just
let that be
playing.
A lesson to you. Close your dang internet and focus on what we're doing
you
here.
You wanted me to have things open for the show today, and then there's videos pop up and play.
Mm. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining a nice, organized, very professional Horses in the Morning. We are glad to have you. I am exhausted. I have vacation hangover, and it was totally worth it. So I'm back.
Jeez, just I'm the back. Scenery from the pictures you were posting was worth it.
It's not even, it's like it's not even real. If anybody
Every picture
ever been,
was a postcard.
I know. To Jackson Hole, Wyoming. There is no more beautiful place on earth in the summertime. It's amazing.
A lot of people say it's beautiful in the winter, too, but those would be the skiers and the, you know,
yeah,
snow bus.
Those are people that like the
Not
cold.
Like us.
Our host said that he went skiing last year in negative 27. And I said, why would you do that? And he goes, it was awesome. My nostril hairs froze. Like, that's not awesome.
But that person should be living in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Yes. That's the kind of dude who appreciates that kind of winter. But anyway, it was amazing. It was incredible.
What was it like going from 120 to like 70?
Well, just here's just a taste of what it's like going from record heat to 70 degree days. When we got home, I'm driving in the driveway with my child, and he sees that we're home. And instead of, oh my God, we're home, I'm going to see my dog Danny, I'm going to see my horse Chili, like everything's great, he starts uncontrollably crying, screaming, no, no, I want to go back to Wyoming. Yeah, that's how it was. And you know what? Chad and I turned around, we're like, dude, so do we. It's all cool. Like, we get it.
Do we understand why snowbirds are snowbirds now? Why they all leave Phoenix and Florida and go back north in the summer?
I've understood that for a very long time. There's just nothing I can do about it. So we get home. I'm like, we're going to go in the pool. And we jump in the pool. The pool is 95 degrees.
Oh, it's a sauna. Just put the bubbles
95.
On.
95. Oh, like even my fun, happy summer place is overheated. It's never happened that bad.
It was funny watching you because Wendy, who lives in Sarasota, Florida, it's even hotter than Ocala. Wendy was out in San Francisco and she was wearing a jacket the entire time. It was like 69 degrees, right? Because I think it's always 68 degrees in San Francisco. And she was complaining about how chilly it was in San Francisco. So it was funny watching you and her.
Oh my gosh, I was the same way at night. I was like, oh, brr, I need a coat. But our hosts are from Arizona too, so they got it. They were like, yeah.
Do they have the summer place? Is that the deal?
It's the guy we went with, his family. They are a family of the dad is a fighter pilot and an airline pilot like Chad is. And so we've always kind of been friends with them here in Arizona. They're reservists as well, and he's a Delta pilot. So we've always been friends with them, and his dad owns the place.
Ah, and that's even better. You don't have to pay for it.
It's taken us 6 years, but by God, we finally got the invite. I finally got invited up to that dang place with his dad's place. Anyway, it was beautiful and it was amazing. And We can talk a little bit more about it if you want. Or do you want to hear about my Triangle X Wyoming experience? Real quick.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Tell us what Triangle X is. We'll have an interview from there, right?
Yeah, we're going to have an interview on, I think you said Wednesday with the manager. But this is my favorite place on the planet. It's at the base of the Teton Mountains, and it is Triangle X. It's in the Teton National Forest, and it's a ranch that I went to when I was 7 years old with my parents. When life was happy and my parents were still married, and you're 7 years old and nothing bothers you. And I rode a white horse, and her name was Babe, or his name was Babe. I don't even know. But it's a happy childhood place. I went later on in my 20s because I'd broken up with a boyfriend and I was in radio and I was already had the vacation time. And I was like, where do I want to go? I want to go be a cowgirl. So I went to Wyoming and I went to this ranch because it's the only one I really knew of. And I had an amazing time. And I went back the next year. And then I went back the next year. And I took my dad one time. And I went there for New Year's 1 year. And it's just one of these kind of happy places for me. And every time I went, I rode the same horse. The first time I ever went as an older human, he asked me, what kind of horse do you want to ride? And I said, give me a fun one. Not a crazy one. I want a fun one. And he gave me this horse named Chestnut to ride, he being the head wrangler. And so I rode Chestnut every time I went. Well, I haven't been in 8 years to this ranch.
Chestnut's got to be about 80.
Well, horses that have jobs like that, you know, those jobs are tough. And, you know, there's not always a lot of loyalty. Just never know. Never expect that a horse you rode that was in his teens was still going to be there 8 years later. Be it whatever happens, you know. And I went there and there he was. I wasn't even a guest. I just went to the ranch. I was like, Chad, I have to go see if this horse is still there. I need to know. And so I walked up to the thing and I was like, hi. Yeah, I'm in flip-flops. You know, I'm like looking like a total dude. I'm like, hey, I'm looking for a horse. Or like, who are you? I was like, I used to come here and ride a horse named Chestnut. Oh, he's right over there. What? And I see him, and he's about 14 hands. And he was, when I rode him, he was as round as he was tall. And bless his heart, a quarter horse that just was as plucky and fun as can be. And I saw him, and he is wider than he is tall now. And his... He has the hugest, like, belly barrel thing, which has pulled his spine south. And he has the biggest sway back.
Well, it has to be, 25, 30?
He's got to be in his 20s at least. I mean, I was guessing how old he was before. And now he's, like, really old. And he's the kid's horse now. All little kids ride him. And I saw him and went up and pet him. And he walked right over to me because I used to give him treats all the time, which they hated. And I started ugly crying, Glenn. Oh. I started crying so bad. It was embarrassing. And I'm with fighter pilot friends, the Air Force friends. They don't get the horse chick like that. They don't know me as the horse chick. So I see this horse. They're like, oh, great. She wants to go see some horse at this ranch, whatever. And I get there and I see the horse and I start bawling, crying. The wife like hugs me. She's Tara. She doesn't know why she's hugging me. She doesn't know I'm crying, but she's a girl. So that's what you do when you have another girl is crying.
Was this music playing overhead? Did you hear it coming from the clouds?
People are like, why did this chick walk up in flip-flops, see this horse and start bawling? What is wrong with her? So I did go back and see him yesterday before we left. So I did have to say goodbye and I brought him.
Did the woman ask you or was she smart and not ask?
I just said, you don't understand. I've sat on this horse like a total of 100-something hours through all the times I've come here and ridden. And I don't know. I'm going to cry again.
And I was emotional wreck every time I'd come here. So
every time I leave, and you'll hear in the interview that it turns out I'm not the only one who cries when they leave the ranch because everybody gets attached to their horses. Now, what he was saying in the interview, and you'll find out, is that usually it's like the 7-year-olds that cry. And I didn't realize
your emotional level, so that's good.
Oh, but you know, you just connect to the horse and you love it. And then you feel finally like it's still doing good. And it just, oh, it was just enough to just take me right back to being a radio.
Yeah, because when you pulled in the driveway, you were fully expecting them to say, oh, that horse isn't here anymore. And,
oh,
then,
he's not here.
And then the question is, would you have asked?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't expect
I think you
to.
Don't want the answer to whatever. That, if it's no, you just don't want the answer, right?
I mean, they live in the pasture in the middle of northern. They ship all the horses up to this field in northern Wyoming.
Now, is this a pack ranch or is there actually cattle?
No cattle.
No cattle. Okay.
No, it's you ride in the most amazing, beautiful scenery and you can do groups of slow, you can do a medium ride, you can do a fast ride, and that's what Chestnut and I always did. And this horse was game for anything. They go, stop trying to get him to jump things. We don't want him to jump things. And I'd be like, but I want him to jump this log. Stay on the trail. So yeah. I loved this horse.
Did they charge you extra every time you came back? Your rate, normal rate's $1,200. Jamie rate, $1,600.
Yeah, because you screw up
to retrain the horse after she's here.
Yeah, so it's a super fun place. And so
what was the name? Give it them a plug again.
Well, you'll hear it about 10,000 times because I didn't realize all the things that they did do behind the scenes.
Do they have a chuck wagon? Stuff.
Yeah, you eat at the chuck wagon the first night you get there.
I gotta go there because I still have my fantasy of the chuck wagon thing. So,
well, it's Triangle X Ranch. You can Google it, and it's just like I said, one of my favorite places in the world, and I've been there repeatedly. And you'll hear plenty about it if you listen to the show on Wednesday because I talked to the owner or one of the owners, and they're like, you know, sixth generation. They've been there forever. They were like homesteaders out there. So it's rooted in history. Yeah. It's got a lot of history.
Sounds really good.
They even have a museum, a Triangle X museum there. So It's fun. It'll be awesome. And trip was great and everything.
Chad's going,
and,
oh, I know where we're going next year on vacation for a week.
Oh, we've already like figured out that really I didn't talk about it in the interview. They take your child pretty much for the week. So you don't even eat with your child.
Oh, it's like going on a Disney cruise. You don't see your child for the rest of the cruise.
Exactly. They have a kids table. The kids eat half an hour earlier than anybody else. And then the kids go and do their horse thing.
All of a sudden, Chad was really interested in trail riding for a week.
And he goes, how old do you have to have your kid have to be? They're like 5. He's like, book it. 5, book it.
And you know what? So if you're living in Oklahoma, you'll be closer.
I think we Googled it. It's the exact same.
All right, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
We're like, how much to, how
we have
long?
To get, we have to get Jennifer released so she can get to her first guest on the phone. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, Auditor Chantel is going to review Unrelenting, George Morris's much anticipated autobiography. Next up, leaders of Hell Hat Posse, a Facebook group, is going to explain the crazy popular Facebook page that has a slightly alarming name. And then in the space in between the ground line and the top rail, we will fill with the cut brush of horsey headlines. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And while you're getting our first guest on the line, we'll do our daily whinnies. Well, I actually have two here, but I'll kind of combine them. I have to give Daily Whinny, of course, to Karen Chatton, the host of the Endurance episode here on Horses in the Morning. She and Bo, her horse, her Arabian, finished their 5th Tevis race, the most difficult race in the world, endurance race, 100 miles, in 26th place. That was out of 165 starters. Not too shabby. And they apparently finished with a great, they score your horse when you're done. I don't know exactly what the scoring is. She's explained it before, but I don't remember. But apparently her horse came out very well at the end of the race. Get this, Jamie, she left at 5:15 in the morning and finished at 2:15 the next morning. 21 hours in the saddle. She did very well. She was very excited about it and was very happy with how her and Bo did. Think about that. This is his 5th time.
How on earth do you do that in the dark?
You just ride. A lot of them have those little miner's lamps, you know, on top of their helmets. Boy, she said the horse sees the way. You don't actually see the way. And some of those trails are really narrow with drop-offs. So, I mean, I agree with you. But let's also congratulate the winner, Karen Donnelly. It was a mother-son duo that actually headed out. They were in the lead here in the end. John Donnelly was a junior last year, rode as a junior, her son, and had to withdraw, get this, in the final 20 miles because of a horse issue. I guess the horse came up a little lame, so he withdrew, thankfully, you know, taking care of his horse, and left his mother to claim the title and win the race. If he hadn't had to withdraw, they would have came in 1 and 2.
How many started?
There were 165 started. 78 riders could not finish the race.
Yeah, 80. I'm looking at 87. Yeah. Finished.
Yep.
Out of all those numbers, and I started trying to figure out.
That's about right. It's usually about 50-50.
Is it really?
Yep. That's about normal. Yeah.
Well, I was looking at the different breeds of horses, and I found a number 166 Nicole Chapel was riding a buckskin Friesian cross.
Whoa.
What does a buckskin Friesian look like? I need pictures. And then a woman number 25, Sasha Edgel, rode a Connemara cross, and then there were 3 Mustangs. Sad to say that the Friesian did not finish, and then 2 of the Mustangs didn't finish. The Connemara finished in 57th, and then number 97, Mark Montgomery, he was on a Mustang. He finished 36th.
It's a tough race. I mean, you know, the fact that we have an almost 50% dropout rate is not unusual.
No.
Yeah, and you know, like the weather looked good. I mean, it wasn't raining anyway. You know, and they did a great job. I was watching all day Saturday on the Tevis Facebook page. They had video. They did Facebook Live at a lot of the points during the race, so you could see the riders coming through.
Yeah,
which was fun to see. They really did a good job with their social media this year, and they really are playing that up more and more every year. Now, Karen's tracker wasn't working. I could track her all day, like they had the GPS trackers on, and some of them just didn't work, but a lot of them did, so you could kind of follow where they were. And I tell you, you know, for a 100-mile race, they were pretty bunched up even at the end. It's always amazing to me how that can happen after 100 miles, but good job on all of them. I'm sure Karen will be having the winners on in her next episode here in August. She'll be having the winners on, and she's just badass, so.
You have all these amazing horsewomen that host shows.
I know. She's the one that has the most calluses on her butt. Is probably true of now. Sure. I don't know if you saw the pictures. If you are friends with her, but her riding breeches tore on the inside of her leg at about, I don't know, about halfway point, and she has these huge welts on the insides of her legs. It looked gross. I mean, it was pretty gross. And she rode the rest of the way with that. So they're a different breed.
She's, yeah.
Well, let's do my other one here quick. A quick happy birthday to Fiona, the host of the Australian episode once a month. It is her birthday today, so I don't know. Her birthday might be over by now. But happy birthday, Fiona. And also a happy birthday to Auditor Geraldine Brown. It was her birthday yesterday. All right, real quick, we'll do your Daily Winnie.
Two words. California Chrome.
I cued it.
And away they go to a perfect beginning. California Chrome hopped out the gate and is going straight to the lead, but now there goes Dortmund. And as expected, Dortmund will go on to lead California Chrome. Victor Espinosa takes a hold of him. He's going to tuck him in behind. Crittenden, meanwhile, comes through down at the rail, win the space, that's in the fourth position. And Follow Me Krev, contender trail Ernie, only 5 lengths off the lead. They head to the three-quarter pole, and Gary Stevens has Dortmund nice and relaxed out here. Dortmund just taking them along at a comfortable pace. California Chrome, those right there. California Chrome, only 3/4 of a length off Dortmund. Then we come back to win the space. Crittenden in the blue colours on the inside. Follow Me, Krev, is now 8 off the leaders. They head to the half-mile pole now, and the two favorites out here dominating it. Dortmund on the inside. California Chrome, Victor Espinosa just sitting dead still. He's on a long rein and running up alongside of Dortmund into the far turn. Then we come back to Win the Space. Crittenden has ridden along and Follow Me Krev last. They are coming towards the quarter pole. Dortmund along the inside. California Chrome now comes to take him on. Win the Space is four back in third. They're at the top of the lane in the San Diego, and California Chrome strikes the front on the outside. Dortmund is running his heart out on the inside. California Chrome the advantage. Dortmund running the race of his life. He's coming right back. California Chrome, Dortmund head for the wire in an absolute thriller. California Chrome's class has pulled him through. California Chrome won it ahead. Dortmund a very game second. Then Win the Space.
Unreal. What? That is an instant classic race right there. California Chrome.
It was almost a match race. There were like five horses that started. It was these two the whole way. So
it was. Yeah. And it shows you, you know, a horse is only going to show off as much as he has to. And Dortmund pushed him the whole entire way. It was unbelievable race by Dortmund. And then to have California Chrome just come out and beat that.
Still,
oh, my gosh.
The winningest horse in history right there.
Yep. Still won the most money. And then we're going to see, hopefully, him and another mare you guys obviously you may know. If you don't, you need to find out more about her, Songbird. And between her and California Chrome, this Breeders' Cup Classic is going to be epic this year, I tell you. It's not going to be a runaway. It's going to be an epic battle. I can't wait. Sorry. Move on. There we go. Get to the guests.
Speaking of epic, is there anybody more epic than George Morris?
And oh, my gosh. I'm nervous to hear about that. because I almost feel like I'm going to get in trouble no matter what happens.
Jamie.
When she reviews this, I'm going to get in trouble.
Jamie,
because
put the fork down and exactly. Say hello to Chantel.
Hi, Chantel. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you guys? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. What you're here to do is a book review of George Morris's Unrelenting, The Real Story, Horses, Bright Lights, and My Pursuit of Excellence. I would feel like when I laid my hand on the top of that book, the like energy coming through it, did you feel some, and was it a positive energy or was it negative?
Positive for the most part, but you know, with everything there's a little bit of negativity too. I do need to tell you guys, I bought this book when it first came out, like maybe 3 or 4 months ago, read it in a week, gave it to a friend to read. And so this is almost more like my remembrances of it at this point, because I'm, you know, there was things I was like, oh, I should go back and check, but I don't have it anymore for the moment. My friend's still slowly reading it. So
that might be better. That might be better actually, because it's what you took away and remembered from it. So,
right. Well, okay, Chantel, before we get to the book, tell us, for those who don't know, you're an auditor. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your horses.
I work at a tack shop actually. So I used to groom, and I actually used to groom in the hunter jumper world. So back in the 90s, I mean, ages ago. But so I kind of like, in a way, this book was great because it gave me a lot of the pieces of things I didn't know history wise. So that was cool. That's the main reason I wanted to read it, just because obviously, like everyone else, I worship George Morris. And so, you know, it was great to read his history. Now I'm trying to event my new horse. Well, we just went over our first cross country jump this weekend, so we're not quite there yet. But my old horse, I evented training level, and I got a new guy who had been on the track. I got him in December, and we're just slowly getting to know each other at this point.
Fun. Now, when Chantel says she works at a tack shop, she works. You're the one who, when I bought from Tack of the Day fly masks, I buy fly mask on Tack of the Day, and I get this note. Hopefully, Zeus will not destroy these fly masks, Chantel. And I was like, huh. I'm getting.
I literally heard that episode like the day before about carrying. Yes, I am the shipper for Tack of the Day, and that's kind of like going back. That's how I knew Glenn and Jen from early days.
You have taken over my baby. You now care for my baby.
Yes. Well, sometimes, yes. Yes, I do.
So,
is it out of diapers yet, by the way, Chantel?
Out of diapers, maybe at the point of going back into diapers, you know, depends.
And just so you know, those fly masks that I bought three. Duke has his on still. Okay. Duke,
awesome.
He's living up in Flagstaff. He has his on still. And day one, Zeus pulled the Velcro pieces off of Thor's. And day two, Zeus pulled the Velcro pieces off of his own. So I have sent them to a student to replace the Velcro, and then hopefully I'll be getting them back. But I'm like, God, that's a monster. If you guys come across any with nails and the sides, that's the one I need.
I need riveted ones.
Exactly. I know. Those are the soft mesh ones, if I'm remembering correctly. And they were great because they weren't supposed to, like, leave rubs on your horse and everything like that. They were far from indestructible, though, because of that.
I need ones that rub.
You need, like, the old, the ones with the old-fashioned screening, you know, that are out there, I think, you know.
You need chainmail.
Like
you need just, the old knight's chainmail
exactly.
on his face. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that's what one farm employee said to me one time with my old warm blood. He goes, Jimmy, the fly mask that you need for your horse, you need to get one that has nails.
Exactly.
That's the source. Sure. Well, tell us a little bit about the book, Chantel. So starting on Unrelenting, The Real Story, Horses, Bride Lights, and My Pursuit of Excellence. Give us the review.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely, you know, it was definitely almost a history because I think because he's so embedded in the hunter jumper industry. You know, it almost read as a history of at least the East Coast show jumping and the hunters going back from like maybe the 50s on up. So that was like very, very interesting to me. He also, there was a lot of emphasis on his tours, his European tours with the United States Equestrian Team, which, I mean, I just found that fascinating, maybe because I just, you know, didn't know much about that, but the way they do things over there and just like how seat of the pants they had to be over there, at least in, you know, the 60s and stuff was very, I'm going to say interesting a lot, but that's basically, you know, my gist of it. I kind of wish, compared to other biographies I've read from top riders, I kind of wish he went more into the horses than he did. You know, he certainly mentioned his favorites and a little bit about them, but there wasn't a lot of biography of his great horses, that kind of thing, their quirks, their personalities. You know, that, you know, I definitely, maybe because I'm more of a horse person, even when I'm competing, than a sport person, you know, that was what I would have liked to read, but it really is the, you know, everybody is mentioned in it. And it was very interesting that way.
Wow. Wow. So a lot of kind of historical information, not so much fluffy information. Why does that sound normal for George?
Well, I will say, I mean, it was pretty gossipy. And I think, like, I was very, very excited to read the book, but I was a little worried because it sounded so, it sounded like a kiss and tell kind of from the publicity I'd heard ahead of time, you know, directly from George Morris. And I mean, there was some, you know, who he kissed, no, you know, in-depth how he kissed kind of thing. So, I mean, that was, and I think he was trying to be, it just came off as like, ooh, aren't I a bad boy kind of thing, you know, and which just seemed a little odd to me.
Did he spend time on his time in theater and all that stuff?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, there was, like, the whole book is organized in decades. So he'd have, like, the, you know, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. So he did go into the you know, theater parts sometimes and why, I think, you know, he did touch on why he felt like he wasn't going to be as successful in that as he was, you know, with the horses. And I think that's the main reason why he chose to go back with the horses. but so it wasn't probably not enough theater for a theater guy, you know, but, you know, he did certainly touch on that.
Did he talk at all about in the book the way that he teaches now and kind of what he's known for? Did he mention that?
Not really. I mean, he did, you know, mention that, you know, he is, you know, considered sort of the strict guy, the disciplinarian guy, you know, how, you know, people do, you know, shake a little bit in his presence or something, but not as much. I mean, he never touched upon, like his practical horseman, you know, column that has been around for, I mean, I've been getting practical horseman since the late 80s, and I think he was doing it back then. You know, so, I mean, there was definitely like big holes where I'm here, like, you know, wait a minute, you know, I thought he would talk about certain things that he didn't, I guess.
Did he mention his doll? Well, let's just let the doll speak for itself. You know.
Great, my advice for your daughter, the best thing you can do for your daughter's writing career is have her take tennis lessons.
There you go.
So you get- God.
No mention of the doll, at least not to my
Does he realize that he's a parody of himself at this point? I mean, kind of, that's what he's become,
to
right?
To you, he's a parody. To, like, horse chicks, he's terrifying. But you respect him at the same time.
Yeah, he's
so
kind of become this, I don't know what the word is. He's the only one, I think, in the horse world that's become that's come to that point. Well, he's still alive anyway.
He's, I love it. In the book, in one of the descriptions of the book, it says, "This engrossing autobiography, the real story of the godlike George Morris," blah, 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 blah. And that's a great word for him, because in the horse world, he's very godlike, and he's also a parody of himself, but he's also still doing it. You know, it's not like we're talking about somebody from 20 years ago. This is a guy that's still out there coaching and still out there shaming girls, and they pay him good money for it. It's amazing. Good on him. I think he's great.
Yeah. And I mean, he does mention, you know, he has had issues with, I think saying, I won't say mental health, because I think it was a little bit, not to that extreme, you know, but anxiety issues and that kind of stuff. And he's completely open about that kind of stuff, which I, you know, it's hard to believe in my mind, because, I mean, I, you know, when I was grooming and stuff, you know, he was like, you know, the man who was not ever crossed kind of thing, you know. And so and I'm sure he's still to that, you know, to this day, even more so then, at least. You know,
when we had him on the show, he talked very bluntly about being nervous and very, very nervous for shows. But he was able to put that aside. And, you know, it's funny. You look at somebody like him who kind of abuses women that are in front of him, and not physically or anything, but basically tells women how it is on how
this one?
He feels.
Best exercise you can do for riding and your horse. Is push away from the table. Put down your fork.
Like that?
And these women are standing in front of him, paying him for it. You know, and it's probably the tough love they need to hear. It's not like Clinton Anderson over here telling people they need to fall off and die. It's like, you just need to, you know, and so you're paying him good money for him to say that to you. I wouldn't do it. No way. But,
well, I will tell you, Jamie, I jump crewed for a clinic for him once, and he is equal opportunity. He will tell the men the same exact thing as he feels that way. Maybe even more so. I mean, I think he can be tougher on the guys just because, you know, I think he's, you know, trying to bring them up, you know, more in this world.
Yeah,
you know?
I think that's hilarious. Now, after reading the book, would you ride in a clinic with him?
No, but I knew I wouldn't ride in a clinic with him beforehand. So it was...
Would you recommend the book?
Yes, okay. Yes, definitely. It does get I was so hyped up to read it. It may not like live up to the hype a little bit, because it is, like, I think it's at least 400 pages. It does get a little slow at times.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, I mean, it definitely is interesting, and you might go through a few pages where it's like, okay, I'm ready to put this down, and then something else will, you know, jar your interest.
I wonder
again,
if it's done as an audiobook where he reads it. Now that would be interesting.
That would be very interesting.
Because you ain't reading 400 pages, Glenn. Let's be real.
Well, and also, I don't see them getting him to sit down and read his 400 pages for the audiobook either.
Sure. And I think after 10 hours or 20 hours or however long it took, you know, of listening to his audiobook, we would all have that George Morris accent that he had, you know, just from, you know, osmosis or something.
All right. Well, thank you, Chantel. We appreciate a great review.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
All right. See ya.
And bye now.
Brutally honest.
Brutally
That's George
honest.
Morris.
Yep.
Brutally honest.
You're very beautiful. I hope you have a brain.
Oh, my God.
Well, let's end with that. Let's just leave George at that. Thank you, Chantel. Thank you, Chantel. She's an auditor, and we really appreciate all of our auditors. Well, we, you know, we're sponsored this entire show by Omega Alpha. And you had a product you wanted to talk about, a different product you wanted to talk about with Omega Alpha. You're like a walking commercial for them.
Well, thank God I am, because I do commercials every week for them. You got to.
Which one this week?
All right, so... Bless his little heart. You guys know Joe Montana, Joey, in the backyard. He came from the sheriff's department. I adopted him over 4 years ago. He was totally unstarted, untrained, never raced. He's a thoroughbred. And he comes from very good bloodlines. But he was stunted because he was starved. And then he lived in a stall pretty much his entire growing up. So Joey has had a pretty terrible life. What is amazing about Joe Montana is that he continues to have a very plucky attitude. And he now belongs to a 13-year-old girl she just turned 14, who loves him more than anything. Loves him. And she was going to go do her first ever horse trial. So we were schooling, and we were jumping, we're doing things. And Joey just... doesn't have, like, he's so laid back and so chill that he doesn't really have a big oomph, like, get up and go, get going. He just kind of takes everything luck and stride. He's Joey. I mean, I started him and was riding him in like 5 minutes. And then he was teaching kids. I was using him as a lesson horse a month after I started him. It was crazy because he's just super laid back. Well, that always doesn't work when you're an event horse and you're trying to get him to go novice, which is, you know, those 3 foot jumps through the woods. And she just was having such a hard time kind of getting his energy level up. So we put him on a product called Testos Boost. It's the Omega Alpha supplement for testosterone because he is such he was gelded very young, and he's such a laid back guy that, you know, reading a little bit about Testos Boost, it was kind of one of those things that put a little fire in him, a little bit of, testosterone, but it's not, it's all natural. It's not like they're going to drug test him and be like, oh my gosh, he has way too much testosterone in him. It's just a natural testosterone booster. And we just wanted to carry him through. So he got it for about a month, all the way up through the horse trial. He's got this next month off. So we took him off of it for this time off because he can go out and be lazy. I didn't see a massive amount of like weight changes or behavior fluctuations. He just had more energy when she rode him. It wasn't like he was pacing the stall and acting like a stallion and calling to mares. He just moved with more excitement and more energy. And so I really recommend for those who do have a horse that's kind of like him and or needs a little bit of a pick-me-up, a little testosterone boost, check it out, omegaalphaequine.com.
It does have kelp and ginseng in it. I just looked. I was wondering if it had ginseng. I was wondering if it did. Apparently Siberian ginseng. Maybe that's better than other ginseng. I don't know.
Well, if you're going to have ginseng, it damn well better be Siberian.
Siberian. Yeah, that's right. Omega Alpha.
It did. It just picked him up. He just was perkier, you know? Sorry.
OmegaAlphaEquine.com. I can't say that we've ever talked about that particular product before.
We haven't, because I've never used it, but we just needed something to help him get going a little bit. Man, like, he's going to fall asleep at jump four, Abby. Let's go. Go! Take him!
Well, all right. Well, I'll tell you what. There is something that doesn't need a boost because it is doing very well, and it's a Facebook page called Karen's Hell Hat Posse. And I got to admit, when we first saw this, I was like, what the heck's a hell hat? So we're going to find that out today because we have the founders of that Facebook page, Mark and Karen, with us. And, of course, Karen is of Karen's Hell Hat Posse. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, Karen, let's start with you. What the heck is a hell hat and how did it get started?
Well, it's one hell of a hat. That's what people say. So we called it a hell hat. It got started. My husband and I do a sport called cowboy mounted shooting.
Sure, yeah.
And in 2013, about 5 weeks before our world competition, I came off my horse here at home. And he stepped on the back of my head and I fractured my skull.
Yeah.
So, of course, cowboy mounted shooting, you kind of want to wear a cowboy hat. Well, that first year at Worlds, I wore a helmet, and helmets aren't big in the Western world.
Yeah, but you and Tammy are changing that. You and Tammy are changing
that.
We
are, yes. As a matter of fact, I met Tammy that year at Worlds, and she is an absolutely delightful person, and she made it okay to wear a helmet, which I so appreciated. And when we got home, my husband created a hell hat. So I'll let him tell you about why he created that.
Yeah, what is it? Mark? What is a hell hat?
Well, it's a combination of a helmet with a cowboy brim on it. So hence the name hell hat. Western folks are real particular about their gear, and we're no exception to that. We like having nice, fashionable gear. I just wanted my wife to feel more at ease on her horse in her chosen event. So I think when you show up with anything less than a cowboy hat, you feel, I don't know, like you don't quite belong. But Karen's a terrific competitor, and I wanted her to feel at ease and safe at the same time.
And I got to tell you, I was on the Facebook page, and what you've done is created a Facebook page that kind of helps people do it themselves, right? You're helping them make their own hats.
Well, we just put a simple step-by-step pictorial on there, and we were just amazed at the response. People really enjoy doing this on their own.
Well, and it's become
inexpensive.
Well, that was my question, is are they taking cowboy, by the way, these are looking really cool, and the way they incorporate the helmet and make it part of the hat, they're not trying to hide. You know, one of the problems with the old Western, we used to sell them. Back in the 1990s, the Western helmets came out, and they looked like they'd be in a cartoon. They were just cartoonish.
Right.
They were huge. They were funny looking. It looked like, you know, I just look cartoonish. And nobody would wear them because of that.
Right.
The ones you guys are making, you actually still, in most of them, you're not trying to cover up the helmet. The helmet becomes part of the hat. And that's where I think the difference is, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of what got us started, is that we started looking for a Western helmet for me, and the ones that we found, like you said, looked a little cartoonish. So when we got home, Mark took one of my favorite straw cowboy hats, and he just cut the crown off of it, and we literally duct taped it to the helmet using some fancy duct tape, and then I could duct tape a different flower on to match my competition shirt or change the duct tape out. And we're not hiding the fact that it's a helmet. So now I've actually gotten used to that look, and I'm much more comfortable, you know, doing my event.
Well, I got to tell you, some of these that I've looked at on the Facebook page, some of these ladies have just gone crazy. I mean, they look really cool.
Yeah, they're having hell hat making parties all over the country.
This is so cool. I'll tell you something. I have friends that are barrel racers, and they're constantly, oh, yeah, we should wear helmets. We should wear helmets. And one of them, you know, she's constantly knocking down barrels. And I told her, I said, you're not riding to your potential because you're worried, because you are nervous about not having a helmet on. And she's like, I think you're right. This is her answer. This is genius.
Yeah.
So, when you take a cowboy hat and you, boom, cut the top off of it and you pop it right down there on the helmet, does the cowboy hat need to be huge to fit over the helmet, or is it a normal size? How do you measure for that? I'm going to make
one. No, there's really no
There's no measuring to do. You just cut it off right at the base of the crown, and they'll all work. As you, you take the crown off, and then you set the helmet on top of the brim by itself, and you can just sketch a little line around the perimeter of the helmet. And then on the material between your line and the opening that you've created, you can just make some little relief cuts, which allows the material to flex just a bit as you press it down.
I see.
Yeah, so just, you know, as long as people don't get in a hurry or cut too big of a relief line, then they go on quite nicely.
I think
you spray it down with water. Yeah, spray it down with water, and then that allows your relief cuts to stretch a little bit. And, of course, you can always make your relief cuts a little bigger. So we say start conservative with your relief cuts. But that way, any brim will fit on any helmet.
But then,
and it's inexpensive. There's no two alike, and people are having fun with it.
And it's not just straw either. People are doing felt hats and the whole thing. And it's, of course, the ribbon, or what are the bands, the helmet bands that they're putting on that make them look really fancy. And I
think, fancy duct tape.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, there's hundreds of choices of duct tape these days.
Yeah.
You find something for everybody out there.
I've never used anything but duct tape, but a lot of folks are really blinging theirs up. But nobody has ever known, you know, I can be right next to somebody and they still don't recognize it as duct tape because there's so many fancy colors.
What, now, the one question I do have, and this is a warning we'll have to give out to everybody. You know, we've had helmet manufacturers through the years as advertisers and many conversations about helmets. And one of the things, they don't even want you putting stickers on their helmet. You know, they're really picky about that. Have any of the helmet manufacturers reached out and said, oh, you shouldn't be doing this? Or have you gotten any feedback at all from them?
None of the helmet manufacturers, you know, some of our members have posted that. And so, you know, we post on our pinned post, we say, you know, you're responsible for knowing your helmet manufacturer's warnings. And that is up to, you know, each individual person to be wise in their choice of what they're putting on it. I haven't had any problem with my duct tape.
You know,
it's
what?
Really, that's so negligible. You know, I think probably too, Western helmet manufacturers are just happy anybody in Western sports are using them.
Right.
Just at all.
Yeah, we figured it was to get more people wearing them. I mean, we've been contacted by people literally all over the world from, I think, I counted the other day, 45 states and the United States, Canada, and I believe 6 foreign countries.
Well, you know, too, I mean, they say that to cover their own butts a lot of times, too. I mean, they have to say, oh, don't do this or don't do that because they don't want to be liable. But you know what? Wearing this helmet with a felt or a straw hat around it is still going to be safer than not wearing any helmet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right?
Right.
It's still going to be safer. And I got to tell you, some of these are pretty clever.
Yeah, people are having fun with it. So, you know, they're making, you know, I have 2 and Mark has 1. And we've heard from people who have made 4 to 6. You know?
It's all about the color. You got to match.
Making them for their kids, making them for their grandkids.
Well, first off, in the English world, it's hard to, you know, they sell the visors that go over to block the sun. And I live in Arizona. This would be just awesome just to have to keep the sun out of my eyes a little
bit. And also off your neck and the back.
Neck.
Yeah.
The other thing is there's pictures of you riding and you have one of the most beautiful horses I've ever seen. This black horse of yours?
Oh.
Who is he? Tell me about your horse.
Oh, his name is Ace, and I got him from a dear friend of mine in Hermiston, Oregon, and she's also a cowboy mounted shooter. Her name's Cindy Griggs, one of my shooting idols, and I had wanted to buy this horse for a long time, and finally she agreed to sell him to me, but he's won several world championships with her riding him, and then I won my first world championship on him in 2014, so he's a pretty special horse.
He's gorgeous. Oh, I got horse envy. And you're kind of a badass galloping on a loose rein, shooting a gun. I mean, let's be real.
That's her. Yeah, I described her to a T.
Yeah,
If you would have known me, 6 or 7 years ago, I was so insecure about my riding, I wouldn't even let people watch me ride. So cowboy mounted shooting has brought out my inner Annie Oakley, I think.
Well, that and having, like I was telling my barrel racing friend, you ride more confidently when you have a helmet on because you don't worry about. You just ride better. You're not focused on, oh my God, my brain, my nugget, you know, you're worried about your riding. And so congratulations to you for figuring out a way to get out there and give it 110% when you knew you had it in you the whole time. And by God,
well, I think that's
how to do it in style.
That really goes to Mark because it was his brilliant idea. And, you know, he made it for me because he knew I wasn't 100% confident on my horse after a couple of falls. So he came up with that to help me ride better, and he sure did.
I gotta
tell
you.
You're not supposed to give the husband all the credit.
Good job. I think you did a great job giving him credit.
Yeah.
Well,
good job.
And you know, you can do it cheaply. I'm looking at some of these people are posting. They bought their hats for $19. And if you get a schooling helmet for 50, 60 bucks,
ovation,
for 70
baby.
Bucks, 80 bucks, you have a helmet. You have a hell hat.
Right. Well, we call Mark, you know, we tease him. We call him the Brim Reaper because Mark's kind of a brim snob. Yeah. He's an old cowboy. He's a brim snob. So, you know, he cut up a $50 hat to make mine. But yeah, they can do it, you know, with a $5 hat, or they can do it with a $50 hat. And one of the things we're working on right now with a couple of hat manufacturers is getting them to make us some brim onlys because people don't like cutting up $50 hats. They would like to be able to just, you know, use a brim that they can set their helmet on. And there again, any helmet, because you simply trace around it. So any helmet will work.
That's great.
Very
you
cool.
guys should have cashed in on this.
Are there instructions on there how to do it on your Facebook page?
Yeah, no, we're giving the idea away. You know, heaven help us if we make any money. So we're going to give the idea away.
We want people to have an opportunity to ride safe and mm-hmm. pursue their Western event with confidence. Mm-hmm. So if it gets people wearing a helmet,
not to mention a million or so, you know, 4-H Western 4-H kids that have to wear helmets. So this gives them an opportunity to wear a helmet of their own making that still has a Western design.
Well, we appreciate you guys doing this. We're big advocates of helmets and have been since this show started. So, and I also want to say, when you go to Karen's Hell Hat Posse, the first post, you have a pinned post at the top that is that actually has step by step instructions how to do it. So, you can check it out there. I was just looking at those pictures, and it really does do step by step all the way through the process. So, if you want to make your own hell hat, that's how you can do it. If you live in Arizona or Florida, anywhere in the South, one of these would be great, even if you're an English rider. It would be fun to do. And as Jamie said, would be a heck of a lot more protection than the way you're doing it now. So, good job. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Karen's Hell Hat Posse is where you find it. Check it out on Facebook. All right, take care.
All right, thanks. Bye bye.
So there are a lot more clever people in the world than us.
You know what? I and they are clever, and that's a great idea. They'd be more clever if they figured out how to sell it.
Some of these are really cool, and some of them you really have to look. You'd have to look hard to see that they're even a helmet.
I know. It's really, really neat. I hope that more people do it. You know, being in Wyoming and seeing a lot of the horse, you don't put a helmet on.
No.
That's not one of the women I talked to. She's like, yeah, I was starting my horse. You know, I had to get on it for the first time. And I guess she ended up in the hospital because I said, well, what happened? She goes, I don't remember. I said, first question from a jerk like me, did you have a helmet on?
Yep.
She's like, no. And I said, you're getting on a horse for the first time untrained and you're by yourself and you don't have a helmet on? She goes, well, I didn't want to get made fun of. I was like, so you'd rather sit in the hospital?
Yeah.
God, there's got to be a way to like get through to me. I just don't get it.
I know. They'd rather sit in the hospital and pay the $20,000 medical bill, right?
Yeah. It's insane.
All right, let's take a break for Uncle Jimmy's and a song, and then we're going to come back. There's lots of news over the weekend that we have to talk about, so we're going to get to that in just a minute.
Hello, folks. Uncle Jimmy here, and welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy brand products, where funny names mean serious products. Featuring Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns, the squeezably soft hand treat that your horse will love. The award-winning Uncle Jimmy's Hangin' Balls. Uncle Jimmy's Sugar-Free Ball. The incredible Licky Thing, also in sugar-free. The amazing Uncle Jimmy's Pecker Wrecker, and the Big Licky. The infamous Uncle Jimmy Hangin' Ball was first designed by me for my own horses to help reduce the bad habits which come from stall boredom. It now can be found around the world. This nutritious, flavored, filled boredom buster will help keep your horses occupied and happy around the clock. Properly hung, it will last for weeks, provided you don't let your horse pin it, and Uncle Jimmy knows who you are. The ball comes in four flavors: apple, carrot, peppermint, molasses, and now sugar-free. Once again, welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy's brand products, where funny names mean serious products, and satisfaction is 100% guaranteed.
That You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to us today by Omega Alpha. I'm Jamie Jennings, and I've got Coach Jen here with me and Glenn the Geek, of course. And we appreciate you guys joining us and listening. And thanks to Uncle Jimmy's and Omega Alpha for being sponsors of today's show. Jennifer, did you guys have a good weekend? You went to see a movie, I believe.
It was movie weekend here. We went to see Star Trek Beyond. Dun, dun, dun. And
Now this is the second one in the new Star Trek.
This is the second one featuring Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto. Yes.
Who's Zachary Quinto? Which one?
He plays Spock.
Okay. Gotcha.
He's the new Spock. And spoiler alert, this is the first one. Well, no. I told Glenn before we left, this will be the first one that Leonard Nimoy is not in. Leonard Nimoy has been in every single Star Trek movie ever made. And I think they're up to, I think, 8 or 12 or something like that now. And he passed away last year. So I thought this would be the first one he's not in. I was wrong.
Well, they didn't film it last year, so.
Well, he passed away before the movie started filming. But he's still in it. Because he really is immortal. Leonard Nimoy really is immortal, so he's there.
That's true. Now, what I remember of just from a month ago is one of the actors, this is like super tragic, the actor who played Scotty passed away recently in like a tragic, weird car accident thing.
Yes. Anton, Yelchin, I'm pronouncing it wrong.
I think
Amir
Shmir,
27 years old, was killed in a very tragic accident with his automobile. To the best of my knowledge, the automobile rolled into him. It was not parked properly, and he was killed by that.
God.
Yeah.
What happened? My thought with all of this, because I've seen the last Star Trek movie, but it's not like I ran out to the theater. Is this going to affect it from the future? What are they going to do?
Well, see, that's a very good question, because the current set of films, Star Trek, happen before the original series. So this is way early when Spock and Kirk are just graduating from the academy. So they can't kill the character, because they don't have the actor to play it anymore, because obviously he shows up later. Now, the director has said that they will not recast the character with another actor. So I don't know what's going to happen going forward. I don't know.
Well, we'll have to see. But so the movie was good. Special effects were awesome. Acting was good. Was Chris Pine?
You know what I say? If you're a Star Trek fan, you're going to love this movie.
Really?
If you're not a Star Trek fan, you're going to think it's another Star Trek movie.
Okay.
So, you know what? If you're not a Star Trek fan, don't go see it, because you're going to come away saying, well, that's just another Star Trek movie. If you're a Star Trek fan, you're going to go, ooh, that was a cool another Star Trek movie.
Now, Glenn's not a Star Trek fan. And
I am. No, I'm a Star Trek fan.
You're not
I love
the same
the movie.
Kind of Star Trek fan. I am.
No, not nice.
You haven't listened to the podcast of every single episode from the original series. This one really harkens back towards the original series.
The better
arc
graphics
of the story, the arc of the heroic characters, very much harkens back to Gene Roddenberry's original vision for the series. So if you're a genuine fan and know a little bit of the backstory about how Gene Roddenberry created the storylines and what his goals were for it, you will definitely appreciate it. From that point of view, it was better than Star Trek Into Darkness.
I want to know how they can afford to keep building new Enterprises, because it gets destroyed in every movie. It's got to be expensive. Those babies have got to cost a lot of money to build, and every movie they destroy it.
Well, I see that. Now, I've got a question, Jennifer, about something you said. Didn't they have a Star Trek The Next Generation movie?
Yes.
Spock in that one, too?
He used to show up in most of them. Yeah, at some point, even if it was just a cameo.
I'm just saying. Just calling it like I see it.
No,
no, he might have been in them. But I was a Next Generation fan of the show, so
I didn't like that one because it was too boring. It was all just talking and not enough shooting.
I like the talkie-talkie.
See, it was way too much talking for me. That's why I love this movie. It was a lot of... Matter of fact, the 5 minutes that there was actually talking in this movie, I went to the bathroom. I went, oh, this is a good point to go bathroom. I came back and they were still talking. So it was like, oh, great. I didn't miss anything.
So, Jennifer, then, how what rank do you give it? I don't even know what scale you guys
use. It's getting a whole bale. I don't care. Oh. It's getting a whole bale.
All right. Very cool.
It was a good movie.
That's awesome.
Hey, Bromont, back to Bromont and the WEG in 2018. The FEI has officially announced that that ain't happening. They went and met with the Canadian officials, and they came back and said, we're very sorry. We are looking now at possible alternatives for 2018, and we're hopeful we will be in a position to make an announcement shortly. And now they said this is not unheard of, that to organize a WEG in 2 years. That back in 1998, Ireland pulled out less than 2 years before the games. So Italy stepped up and actually did the games in Rome.
So somebody could come in and try to host the World Equestrian Games.
I'm sure they're not going to cancel it. So they're going to find some place to put it that will work. Of course, you have all those naming rights issues. And Jennifer, did you say that Aachen has the same problem with the whole Rolex and Longines thing?
If I remember right, I saw something in a post somewhere that Aachen is also a Rolex sponsored facility.
They're just going to have to work that damn watch thing out.
Yeah, they do.
That's the reason they couldn't go to Lexington, was the whole Rolex thing. I don't know. They're going to just have to work that baby out.
I'll just tell you something right now. Watches are way too damn overpriced.
Yes, I know. And who buys? Are they selling enough of them to afford these millions of dollars? And they sponsor everything, racing and all kinds of stuff.
I bought a Rolex one time, and it was in New York, and it was $11. It was in this guy's coat.
I had one too. I had one of the fake Rolexes too, and mine ran for about 2 months. How about yours?
Yeah, mine was less than that. I don't think I made it home with it. We'll just try to wait. See what happens.
I don't know what's going to happen with it.
I've got a breaking news story.
Uh-oh, breaking news.
Breaking news. This is from Horse Talk New Zealand's website. And this is, you guys get a pen because you're going to want to write this one down. This is from the horse, I guess, health section of their website, and I love this website. I look and read it all the time. And this is the title of this breaking news article. Daily horse checks can save lives. And the article goes on to breaking news tell you that you should look at your horse every day because there could be something wrong with it. And they go through, this article goes through, and I don't know who wrote it, goes through different stories of people that looked out at their horses and their horse was hurt or colicking. This first one, the horse was just looked a little down in the dumps, and turns out the mare had suffered a rectal prolapse. What the F? How often are you looking at your horse if you have to do an article about it? Probably should go see it every day. Who the hell feeds it? I wish I could look at my horses once a day. That didn't happen. You guys?
Well, actually, we had, I can't tell you how many boarders we had that would come out twice a year.
That is very true. But at least somebody's looking
at their horse. Right. Yeah. But no, you know what, Jennifer? We have, you know, there's 400 homes, farms in this neighborhood, and it's Equestrian neighborhood. About 70% of them probably have horses. And I guarantee you there's people in this neighborhood that have not gone out and looked at their horse in days. Would you agree with that, Jennifer? Or am I making that up?
Well, you know, there's looking at your horse and there's looking at your horse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they probably look at their horse in the field, but actually go out and
fill up the water barrel.
Look at the horse? No.
You know?
Yeah, I guarantee you.
You know, this article goes on to say that stabled horses should have their stalls mucked out daily. And then you can look at the poop and see how much poop it has.
Yeah. So it was for newcomers. It was for,
for people
that are new to horses.
I just really think that, like, it talks about, like, hey, you should check and see if your horse is losing weight and maybe feed it more. This is like, they wouldn't even do parenting articles this basic. Hey, if your kid's hungry, feed it. There are a lot of new horse owners. I realize that, but telling you to look at your horse every day, breaking news, people. Check your, like I said, if I could look at my horses only once a day, that would be awesome.
Well, you know
otherwise,
what?
I'm like, oh,
there was
my
a
God,
new study in Germany, too. The German National Federation says if you look at your horses every day and actually play with them, this study reveals equestrians are determined, enthusiastic, structured, and balanced. More so
except
than
those equestrians that only got there
that don't look at their horses. But yeah, they did this study and they had 813 riders and non-riders were investigated over years. And they found that they found just that, that the people who had horses were better in leadership. They were more assertive. They were more determined. They were more enthusiastic, competitive, resilient, and structured.
Awesome.
So there you go. So get your kids into horses today.
Money well spent, that study. And then I found another study that just qualifies everything I do as a parent. And this was also from Horse Talk, which also came from the research section of Horse Talk New Zealand. And the title of the article is Thumb Suckers and Nail Biters Are Less Likely to Be Allergic to Horses and Other Common Allergens. And Professor Malcolm Sears says that his
because they ingest more germs.
His findings are consistent with the hygiene theory that early exposure to dirt or germs reduces the risk of developing allergies. They're going to take blood from my child and like use it for other
to
people
cure
with
cancer.
To cure cancer. This child is going to have, oh my gosh. When you have a child, the first at least year of having a baby is trying to get them to stop putting random things in their mouth. And so far, my child has ingested chicken poop. That was a really bad day. The dog poop day was really terrible. If you have to shove a hose down your child's mouth, it's never good. I remember the day that I could take him out to the arena and he didn't scoop up the arena sand and put it in his mouth. I don't know what is wrong with children or maybe it's mine, but he should have the most amazing, you know, just
defenses. He does. Built up defenses. Yes.
I talked to a friend and he's like, I never get sick. My mom used to put me in the wheelbarrow when she'd muck stalls. See, that's the kind of stuff I need to know. So thumb sucking and nail biting creates more ingestion of the germs. So that's actually a good thing. So if you, your child is a thumb sucker or a whatever, the nail biter, and I'm a nail biter too, and I have allergies. I started nail biting way too late in life. Then you're a good parent. That's what I read. I'm a good parent.
You know, I used to be a nail biter, and I kind of gotten over it now. I think it helped that, you know, having all that horse stuff under your fingernails kind of is discouraging. Just saying.
I don't care.
Hey, does a veterinarian by the name of H.C. Wood mean anything to you?
No, but my veterinarian's coming out today, so do I need to know something?
Well, no, this guy lived in 1880, so you probably wouldn't know him, except that he was the first one that made an extract from the cannabis plant and found it to be effective in small quantities for horses. And the practice grew and grew, and word got out that you could use the cannabis plant to make this extract. And veterinarians found that it was good, and they thought it was good to treat horse colic. So marijuana became the main treatment for horse colic in the late 1800s or early 1900s because they believed it helped alleviate pain and strain. They were giving it by injection, and they eventually switched it.
don't tell people that you can inject pot. No!
They didn't have the horses smoking it, but they switched it for oral doses, probably in brownies, of the drug. And guess what it replaced? What was the, before 1880, they used opium to treat colic.
Yeah, I get. Oh my gosh.
Now, so cannabis treatment for horses wasn't avant-garde. It was somewhat experimental, but it became mainstream, and it became the way to help with colic. So much so that the American Veterinary paper in 1895, it was called the U.S. Cavalry Horse back then, recommended a cannabis mixture to help with colic. In 1901, the U.S. Department of Agriculture released a report on cannabis treatment for horses, noting that large doses can cause delirium and, yes, dilated pupils in the horses that were under treatment. So, yeah, horses were getting high even back then. But you know what? No wonder their colic didn't bother them anymore. They were just high out of their minds.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot imagine. Well, I mean, it goes to show that that has been used medically for a very long very time. Long Does it make time. It okay? I don't know. I'm not the judge of that. But the fact that you just brought up that people could inject it, I fear for the people in Colorado.
Did you also know, here's a little bit of trivia, marijuana trivia for this morning, is that dogs needed proportionally more cannabis than horses for the drug to take effect.
It's like Benadryl.
Exactly.
I can take half a Benadryl and sleep for 8 hours. And when my dog had an allergic reaction, she had to take like 8 Benadryl. It was weird.
Guess who's on Benadryl right now is my pony. Is it really? Benadryl, Jennifer, that you're using?
Yes.
That's why he's been so calm. He's been sleepy.
Sleeps the day away.
He's got allergies. He's rubbing on everything. So it's been helping.
My mom came to visit me this last time, and she was not feeling very well. And I had some pain meds from when I think I had the kid. You see what a druggie I am. And she's like, can I please take one? I'm like, sure. That woman went to sleep on the couch all day. And I'm like, mom, she woke up. She's like, well, I don't know what happened. I'm like, you took a pain med. Of course. She's like, no, I do it all the time. I said, show me what you took. She took 2 Benadryl.
That'll do it.
She was like, well, it's in this bottle. I was like, that's it. Don't trust what it says. Me, you're talking about.
Could be anything in that bottle.
Could be anything in there. If it's pink, don't take it.
Hey, earlier, Jamie. You mentioned Vet is coming out. That's got to be a story.
Oh. So Vet's coming out because I have to get... I panicked and realized last night that I'm going to California on Saturday. And I need Coggins and health certificate
for
the Mustangs.
Papers.
Do you need papers to cross the border like they do in Florida here? Or is it they just need them at Monty's house?
They're crazy at the border of California.
So they have an ag station like they do here? Because not many states have that.
No, Florida and California are kind of the two ones that I remember driving through ag stations. I used to drive to Kentucky all the time and never saw an ag station.
They don't care in Kentucky.
They don't care, yeah. But California and Florida have the big ones. And it used to be even that you could go when you drive through the ag station and you had horses, they go, how long are you staying? I'd be like, just a day. They'd go, okay, have a good one. If you're staying over 2 weeks, you had to provide papers. Now, any horse needs a Coggins and health certificate.
And do they want it? They want to print it out, right? You can't show me your phone. They want it printed copies. Yeah,
they want real paperwork. So that just means that, let's see, what's today?
So how late are you on the Coggins for everybody?
Well, we don't have to rush him because 48 hours, but Zeus actually still has his Coggins. So Thor's is expired. Here in Arizona, you don't have to have a Coggins to go anywhere.
Even the horse shows?
Not horse shows, nothing.
Really?
You have to have them to leave out of state. But it is the only state I've ever lived in. If you travel with your horse, there's no Coggins.
God,
so I forget
you go to the park here, you need Coggins test.
Exactly. And we don't have that here. It's just, I guess, the fly-borne diseases aren't as prevalent here in Arizona.
Because the flies are dead of heat exhaustion.
Exactly. Exactly. No. So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more sleeps until I leave for Monty Roberts.
Remind me again, you're going there for a couple of weeks, right? But what are you doing?
So Monty has a clinic that starts the 1st through the 5th, and it's called Monty's Special Training. And basically, it's a 5-day clinic watching Monty work with horses. And I'm sure that he involves people because he just did one for the Portuguese. The Portuguese come over and watch this clinic. So he has a Portuguese translation one, and then he'll have this one. And I have volunteered a Mustang or two for certain things like clipping and, stuff that, like, let me watch the pro do it. And so I'm really excited. It's all the troubleshooting issues that you want answers to, and you want the non-violent way to do it, then this is the way to do it. So watching him work with horse after horse after horse, number one. The second week is there's a three-day join-up clinic, which is learning all the round pin stuff. This is the second clinic I'm doing, and that's a join-up clinic. And it's just join up in the round pin, working on perfecting that. And then I do a 3-day long lining clinic, which is once you get the horse kind of joined up and started, then you learn to long line. So this is going to be join up and long lining is the second week I'm doing. So I'll have a brain full of fix it problems. And then I go to like kind of getting in depth with all of it. And, you know, I want to get certified in Monty Roberts training. And this is, they've kind of let me do all of these clinics in lieu of just the 101, the first course, because it kind of covers even more. So I'm really excited that this is counting as my first kind of starting phase. And it's going to be,
look at you back in school again.
I know. And then, I'm trying to explain to people why I'm going to California. I'm like, I'm going for school.
It's like going to college.
Don't ask.
That sounds so much better than I'm going to go play with ponies.
I know. It sounds more legitimate, but basically I'm going to go play with ponies. And my child is not going and my husband's not going. I'm loading on my two Mustangs and we're getting the car.
I saw that there's some listeners going. So that's kind of cool too.
Well, I made a promise on the air that if a listener wanted to come and do the Monty special training, that I have one extra Mustang that I need ridden on the beach.
Are they taking you up on that?
Oh, yeah, she's so we can take more than just two. I have a 3-horse trailer and maybe we can borrow money's like 6-horse. So if you want to take a horse to the beach, by God, sign up for money special training and
you'll be happy to know that when you get there on Sunday, the temperature is supposed to be 71 degrees.
Are you kidding
with me? With a low of 56. You're going to be in the 70s with lows in the 50s every night. So bring your jackets. You're going to freeze. That's going to be heaven for 2 weeks for you.
I didn't even realize that. Yes. Chad told me, he was like, you're going to have to pack a jacket. I'm like, no, I'm not. It's summer there too. Oh, wait, no.
No, it's in the 70s and the 50s every night.
Oh.
She's going to be announcing the chat after the show. Yeah. I'm leaving early.
Bye. See
ya. Right. Well, we're very excited. You're still going to be doing the show, so listeners don't have to panic. You're going to be doing the show from the schoolhouse again, I assume. There at Monty's Farm, at Flags Up Farm, which now I can picture because we've been there, so I know where the schoolhouse is, and I know where you're parked. So I can picture it now with the deer coming in and out of your backyard every day.
And I get to take Zenyatta, my dog, so I'm not going to be in the trailer alone, so nobody can come and try to, steal me. She'll let me know.
Yeah, and I don't think that's too much of a problem at Monty's place. But
she's better not chase the deer.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Yeah, don't chase Monty's deer. That dog would be out of there.
I think we'll be okay.
You'll be out of there.
I'm super excited to take her in. I'm excited that listeners are coming, and we're going to also do an Ask Monty. He doesn't know it yet, but he's going to join me for one of the episodes up, and we'll do an Ask Monty. So be on the lookout for a behavioral question, and we're just going to, like we did last time I was there, just fire away question after question. So, cool. Glenn, write your questions down.
All right, and then maybe we can, depending how it is, maybe we can even get a live caller or two. That'd be fun to do, too.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, we'll have to work that out. You're going to work out the date, and we'll let everybody know what that is.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a couple other announcements, too, here for Horses in the Morning. We are starting this month, actually. The last Thursday of this month will now become the Draft Horse Day. We're going to have an episode dedicated to draft horses. The Draft Horse Journal has signed on to kind of run that episode. I'm going to be co-hosting with a woman that I talked to last week, and she's going to make a great co-host. She's one of the top announcers for draft horse shows in the country. She does 120 shows a year. So she knows everybody and everything there is to know about draft horses.
And you're so excited.
I am. You know me. I'm so excited about ponies and draft horses. And this is the first in 9 years draft horse show that we're going to be doing. And I'm so excited to have her as a co-host because she just knows everybody and everything. So they're going to be hosting that and putting that together. I'm very excited about that. And then also, they just signed on. The people from the Plaid Horse Magazine are going to be doing a special weekend episode with us. We're going to be talks now with a lot of different places to do special one-hour weekend episodes. And those episodes will be hosted by them. They're not going to be hosted by Jamie and I. It's kind of like Good Morning America on the weekend has different hosts, and they kind of do a shorter version, and it's more lifestyle stuff. Well, that's what the weekend version of Horses in the Morning is going to be. That will not be live. We'll be doing it recorded and put it out on the feeds. So we are going to have a couple of those starting here in August as well. So there's lots of fun new things coming to Horses in the Morning and the Horse Radio Network. Some new shows on the horizon as well. So lots of cool stuff.
Very exciting. Ooh, everything's looking up.
It's looking up.
And it is July 25th here in hell, and I've got things to look forward to.
1 week, and you're out of hell into heaven, really, California. You know, as long as you don't have an earthquake, you'll be fine.
All my boarded horses last night when I came home, I'm like, I'm so sorry, I've been on vacation. The farm sitter does a great job, but, you know, they're not me, and they're not as ridiculous as I am. So last night, every horse, even the boarders' horses, all got baths. Just out there hosing horses down for like 3 hours.
Yeah, I got news for you. When I was farm sitting, when Jennifer was gone, none of the horses got baths either.
No, of course not. Yeah. But I like to bring them in and hose them and scratch their back and all that. And so poor Chili is going to really miss me because he really enjoys his evening baths.
And he tells you about it too, doesn't he?
That's my boy.
Let's call it a day. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you here tomorrow. What's tomorrow, Jennifer? Tomorrow is...
Tomorrow's Women in Rodeo.
Women in Rodeo Day tomorrow. And then coming up on Thursday is Horse Husbands episode. So excited. That's another one of my favorite episodes every month.
Go ahead. Ask the question. Tell everybody what happened.
Oh, what the first question is going to be?
Yeah.
The first question for Horse Husbands episode, Timothy came up with this, is there any horse movie that doesn't suck? And that's going to be the first topic of conversation for the roundtable of Horse Husbands on Thursday. You know, I want to know, does that include movies that have horses like Braveheart? Does that consider it a horse movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, because there were a lot of cool war movies that had horses in them, but mostly they were just getting killed. So I don't know if that counts.
I'd like to think that a horse movie would be.
Oh,
like,
and I got a laugh. I laughed so hard because I actually put that on our auditor page today. I was so excited about Timothy's first question. And the first two were Jackie and Fiona, both from Australia, said, of course, Man from Snowy River. And I went, bah, I'm sure that'll be one of the most beloved horse husband movies ever in the discussion on Thursday. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then somebody said Wild Hearts. I haven't seen it, but I can just tell you that sucks just by the name. So
just the name.
I'm going to pull up a list of the top horse movies, and we're going to go down through the list. And I guarantee you, none of us have seen them. But by the names, we're going to decide whether they suck or not.
So Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken, by the way, is the name of the movie you're talking about, and it was great.
Which right there means it sucks. Jamie says it's great. Horse husbands everywhere are going, it sucks.
Seabiscuit. Don't let me watch. Can't argue with Secretary and Seabiscuit.
Oh, whatever. No, I would. You know what? I'm not giving up which one. I actually picked out two that I thought don't suck. So, but you'll have to wait till Thursday to see what they are.
All right. Can't wait. All right, everybody. Have a great day.
See you later, everybody.
Spay, neuter, geld.
I'm going to make my hell hat.
I got that coming. Get this paperwork taken care of.